different versions of it. I think I've listened to every one of them, so. So I'm going to go with that still. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Message title this morning is, Who You Gonna Be? Who You Gonna Be? In Galatians chapter 1, we're going to read just one verse. That is the very first verse. Verse 1. Let's read together. The Word of God says in Galatians 1, 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Who You Gonna Be? Let's just pray. Please pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have come together with you today. We are glad to worship you. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be powerful and move that we want here.
Someone were to ask you to define who you are, what would you say to them? How would you define yourself? Think about that for a moment. And as you do, I want you to realize something. That's this. The decisions that you make every day in this life, those decisions will define who you truly are. Have you ever thought about that? The decisions you make define who you truly are. Matter of fact, your decision to be in God's house this morning is going to have an impact on who you are. And this decision to be here this morning is helping to shape who you truly are. I'm telling you something. I look back as a child going to church. I wasn't real thrilled about it when I was a kid. Didn't like God. I was made to go. But you know what? I look back now and I am so glad I have who made me go. I'm so thankful that I was there. I'm so thankful for the adults that taught my Sunday school classes, that led our youth group, did things like that. Because I'm telling you, even though I didn't realize it in the moment, those things were shaping who I ultimately became in this life. And so I thank God for all those people that God put in my life when I was younger. And so just even the decision to come to church, I'm telling you, have an impact on who you are. But let me tell you, I have found there are a lot of people world today who are struggling to figure out who they really are. Now, often young people, they'll go off to college or they'll join the military or they'll go and they'll travel. And often what do young people say? They're out there doing what? Trying to find themselves, right? That's what they say. I got to go find myself. Well, I hope you're not too far away. That's all I can tell you. But you got to go find yourself. But you know, I found out very often there are people up into their 40s, even their 50s, maybe even older than that, I think they're still trying to find themselves, okay, and figure out exactly who they are. A while back, I was watching that Western that Kurt Russell was in, maybe back in 1993. Some of you probably seen the movie Tombstone. That's just a good movie. I like that movie. But in that movie, Kurt Russell played the part of Wyatt Earp. And in the movie, he said something to a friend of his in the movie that kind of got me thinking about this, and he said this. He said, all my life I've been chasing my tail, trying to figure out what I want and who I am. You know what? I think there's a lot of people just like that today in the world that are just like that. They're chasing their tails, trying to figure out what they want and who they want to be. Well, friends, the Apostle Paul didn't have problems like that. As a matter of fact, he knew exactly who he was. Pardon me. He was very confident in who he was. As a matter of fact, he said something in 1 Corinthians 11, I don't believe I would ever utter, but he said this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said this, be ye followers of me. That's a bold statement, isn't it, Jeff? Be followers of me. Now, what was he saying when he said that? Be followers of me. Was he saying, I'm the one you're supposed to worship? No, that's not what he was saying. Was Paul saying that he was perfect or sinless? Again, no, that is not what he was saying. But here's what he was saying. He was saying, be followers of me. Why? Because Paul said this, I'm a follower of Christ. That's what he really wanted. He wanted you to follow him and follow his example of being faithful to Christ. And I know this because that verse goes on, 1 Corinthians 11:1, and Paul says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? That was what he wanted. And he wanted people to follow his example of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. You see, that's who Paul was, a follower of Jesus Christ. He wanted everyone else in the world to be a follower as well. And everything about Paul's life revolved around the Lord Jesus. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Galatia, I'm just going to tell you something. If you really studied the book of Galatians, and you know this, Paul wasn't real happy with them, okay? And Paul didn't have a lot of good things to say to them. They had a lot of problems, and the number one problem was heresy. You see, there were some Jewish Christians in the church who were telling the Gentile Christians that they needed to submit themselves to the law of Moses, and they were teaching that salvation wasn't just by Jesus Christ, but that salvation was by faith in Jesus plus keeping the law. I've got news for you. Faith is not, our salvation is not faith in Jesus plus something else. Salvation is just about one thing, faith in Jesus Christ. That's all salvation is about, okay? And to say, well, you got to have Jesus and something else, I'm just going to call it what it is, heresy.
Amen.
It is a lie, okay? You do not need Jesus plus something else. And Paul's upset that this was going on. And you know, when you read the book of Galatians, if you understand this, you can just kind of feel Paul's anger and sarcasm dripping off the pages of this book as you read it. And as he battled with this heresy and reinforced the truth, salvation is by faith and faith alone. But I love the way Paul begins this letter. He begins it by defining who he is. He was confident in who he was. And Paul's statement here in verse 1, I believe, can help us today as we work to define who we are. So friends, let's look at this and let's look at who Paul really was. And as we do, let's look at who we truly are as well. And the first point I want to bring out, and this is the first possibility concerning who we are, the first possibility is this. We are people that the world says we should be. That's the first possibility of what kind of person you are today. You are the person the world says you should be. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Paul, an apostle, listen to this, not of men. Paul, an apostle, not of men. First and foremost, above everything else, listen to me, Paul was a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you're going to say about it. That was the main thing that defined Paul. But Paul also defines himself here as an apostle. Now let me put this in perspective for you. Today, I am a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. That is the main thing that defines who I am. Second to that, I am also a pastor. Pastor of this church. Why? Because 30 years ago, God called me to the ministry. And so, but first and foremost, I'm a follower of Christ. Second to that, I am a pastor. I look at Charlie Schneider back there. First and foremost, Charlie is a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. Second to that, Charlie has a calling in his life to be a deacon. He's a deacon in our church. Matter of fact, he's the chairman of our deacons. But first and foremost, Charlie is a born-again follower. I look back at Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, first and foremost, is a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. Second to that, he's a teacher and a preacher of God's Word. And just as I received my calling to be a pastor, and just as Charlie received his to be a deacon, and John received his to preach and to teach, Paul received his call to be an apostle from God. Yeah. I mean, look at what he says here again. He says, what? Paul, an apostle, listen, not of men. Not of men. He said concerning this position of an apostle, it wasn't because of men. What that means, it means that he wasn't doing what he was doing in his life because it was what the world thought he should do. He wasn't doing what he was doing in his life because he was trying to please the world. He did not become an apostle because one day some old lady in the church came up to him after service and said, "You know what, Paul? I think you'd make a fine apostle." I hate to say this. I have met guys who preached for a year or two and then quit. And they said, "I figured out I wasn't called to preach." And I said, "Well, how do you think you were called to begin with?" And so, well, I stood up one day and spoke in church, and some lady in the church said I'd make a good preacher, and I thought that might be a good idea. Well, I got news for you. Some old lady in the church can't call you to the ministry. God has to do that. Okay? And so Paul wasn't an apostle because someone in the church thought he should be. He didn't do what he was doing to please or impress men. He did not become an apostle because he thought that's what the world wanted him to do. Because look at verse 10 in the same chapter. Listen to what he says now. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" He says, "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know what that means? It means you cannot be a servant to the world and also be a servant to Jesus Christ at the same time. Okay? You can't do it. Just can't be done. Let me tell you something. If Paul was seeking to please the world, well, I'm going to say point blank, he wasn't very good at it. Okay? He really wasn't. If his goal in life was to please the world, he stunk at it. Okay? He really did. Because I'll read something he said over here in Philippians chapter 3. In verse 7 and verse 8, he says, "But what things that were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ." And he said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have," listen to this, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ."
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Paul. Paul was a Pharisee before he met Jesus, but after he became a follower of Christ, he lost his position as a Pharisee. And when he began to follow Christ, he lost the power and the prominence that came with that position. He lost his prestige. He lost his public standing. And I'm telling you, all of those things have been very important to Paul before he met Jesus. But when he met Jesus and he began to live for Jesus, guess what happened? He fell out of favor with the world. Paul wasn't an apostle because he was doing what the world wanted him to do. Didn't have anything to do with it. Matter of fact, if he'd been doing what the world wanted him to do, he wouldn't have been an apostle at all.
Yeah.
If he was following the world, he wouldn't even been a follower of Christ. Let me ask you something. What about you? What kind of person are you? How concerned are you with public opinion? How concerned are you with what other people think about you? How concerned are you about what your family thinks? How concerned are you about what people in your neighborhood think? How concerned are you with what people at work think about you? Oh yeah, how concerned are you with how many people like you on Facebook? Let me ask you this. Do you work harder to please men or please God? You know, in this information age that we now live in, with all the technology, all the social media platforms, there is definitely pressure to conform with the world and go along with the world. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make you a promise. If you refuse to conform with the world, you refuse to go along with the world, there will be a price to pay.
Amen.
So when it comes to defining who you truly are you more interested in pleasing the world, or are you more interested in pleasing God? Paul had no interest at all in pleasing the world. And today, as God's people, we should have no concern in pleasing the world ourselves. Paul had more to say because he went on. Not only was Paul not who the world said he should be, get this, he also wasn't who he wanted to be either. Verse 1 again, Paul, an apostle, not of men, listen to this, neither by man. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm not who the world wants me to be. You know what? I'm not really who I plan on being either. I'm going to tell you something. If you would have told Paul the day before he took that road to Damascus that he was going to become a follower of Jesus Christ and a primary contributing writer to the New Testament, and that he was going to found all these churches that worshiped Jesus and was going to become the world's greatest missionary ever, he would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
He just said, you're out of your mind. He hated Christians. Hey, he was going to Damascus to persecute them. He was having them beaten. He was having them put into prison. And in some cases, he was consenting unto their execution.
Yeah.
That's who he wanted to be. Until he met Jesus. I talked about this last week in my Easter message. You know, Paul has a lot to say in his writings about dying to self. In Galatians 2:28, Paul said that he had been crucified with Christ. And what he meant by that is that he had put the old man and the will of the old man to death. That old man that Paul loves that existed before he met Christ, that man no longer existed. He was now a new creature in Christ, which meant he was a new man with new desires, new attitudes, and a new way of thinking. And part of being that new man in Christ was that Paul was no longer concerned with what he wanted or with his will.
Yeah.
All he was concerned about at this point in the game when he wrote this book was doing the will of God in his life. There are so many places in the Word of God where, you know, Paul would begin to do one thing, and then by the leading of the Holy Ghost, he'd have to shift gears and go a different direction. I'll give you an example of it. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's having a powerful ministry. As we go into Acts chapter 16, matter of fact, listen to what verse 5 says. It says, and so were the churches, churches. He had been instrumental in starting so many churches. He says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul had a powerful ministry. The churches that he was starting, they were growing in their faith. They were growing in number. People were being saved. Awesome things were happening. Then we read down a little bit further. And it says, in verse 7, it says, after they were coming to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Listen to this. But the Spirit suffered them not. They said, now we're going to go here. Now I'm going to tell you why they were going to go here. They wanted to go here and preach the gospel. They wanted to go here and lead people to Christ. Hey, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? And he was very well intentioned. This is where we're going next. We're going to take the gospel here. We're going to start a church here. But guess what? The Spirit said, no, you're not going here today. I have a different plan. Well, what happened? Let's read on. Verse 8. It says, and they passed by and say, condemned to trust. And it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now get this. It says, and after he'd seen the vision immediately, it says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. He had a plan to go here, and it was a well-intentioned plan because he was going here to preach the gospel, but then the Spirit spoke to him. God gave him a vision and said, no, I want you to go here. So what does the Bible say? It says immediately he went here. Yeah. Why would Paul do that? Paul did what he did after he was saved. Did everything that he did after he was saved because he was interested only in the will of God. In Acts chapter 9, after Jesus met, or after Paul met Jesus on the right way to Damascus, and once he realized who Jesus was, guess what? He believed. He was saved. You remember what his very first question was? Right after he was saved? I don't even have to look. I can tell exactly what he said. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Amen.
He didn't say, well, Lord, I got some plans I want to go do, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and then I'll get with you. He didn't say, well, Lord, when I have time, I'll come back, and you can tell me what you want me to do, but next weekend I got some things I want to do. He didn't do that. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me? What do you want to do with my life now that I'm saved? Now that you've got me on the right path, what do you want me to do? I love God's answer. Go to Damascus and wait. Don't you hate that when God does that? Go wait. I want to know now. No, go wait. What did he do? He went to Damascus and he waited. Just like God told him.
Amen.
Some miraculous things happened. church, and Paul was no longer worried about what he wanted. His only concern was what God wanted. Well, Ken, what about you? When you look at your own life today and the person who you truly are you that person because that's who you want to be? Are you the person God designed you to be? Then Paul was not an apostle because that's what the world wanted him to be. He wasn't an apostle because that's what he chose to be. He was an apostle because that's what the Lord purposed him to be. And called him to be. And this brings me to my final point. And then, no, Paul wasn't who the world said he should be, and he wasn't even who he wanted to be, but rather he was the person God called him to be. Look at the whole verse now, getting with me. This is Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but, hear that, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul was like just like a lot of us. He was a little slow to catch on, a little slow to apprehend, Larry. You know what, after he finally figured it out, that Jesus had died for his sin and rose again, defeated sin and death for him, I'll tell you something, it radically changed his life. Amen. And after he got saved, Paul no longer cared what anyone thought about him, no longer cared what anybody expected from him, no longer cared what anybody wanted from him. He also didn't care about his will or what he wanted either. After he got saved, the only thing he wanted to do was live for and please the one who had died for him. Paul understood that when you consider the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, well, friends, we can never make enough sacrifices for him in our service to him, can we? You ever made any sacrifices for the Lord in your life? If you're doing it right, you have. Let me ask you something. Out of all the sacrifices you've ever made for the Lord in your service to him, are they even a drop in the bucket compared to that sacrifice that he made for you?
Amen.
No, it's not. Never sacrifice enough for him. And when you consider the fact that Jesus sought only to do the will of the Father, and he put away the will of the self so that he could die for us, well, friends, you know what I think? I think that gives the Lord every right to expect us to put our own will away and live only for him.
Amen.
It wasn't just Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross that motivated Paul to be the person that he was. Paul was also motivated to be who he was because of what God the Father had done for him. And what had God the Father done for him? God the Father had sent his only Son so that the world could be saved, so that Paul could be saved, so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when you stop and you look at the facts, and you look at what God did, and you look at what Jesus did, I believe the only conclusion that we can draw is the same conclusion that Paul came to, and that is that we owe the Lord everything.
Amen.
That means we owe it to him to die to self and to live for him. It means we owe it to him to put the will of self aside and be concerned with only doing his will in our lives. And when you consider all that God the Father and all that God the Son have done for us, well, friends, our natural reaction ought to be to please them, not ourselves. And I will say the same thing this morning I said last week. That is, you are never, listen to me, you are never going to truly become the person that God designed you to be. Nor are you going to be truly able to be used by God in your life until you truly die to yourself and put the will of self aside, seeking only to please him and do his will.
Amen.
And until you do that, I'll tell you something. If you've not done that, if you've not crucified the old will, the old man, if you haven't died to self and put his will supreme in your life, I'm telling you something, he'll tell you the truth about you. You are a person with divided loyalties between God and the world. Paul's loyalties definitely were not divided. His loyalties were to Christ and only Christ. Paul didn't care what the world said, what the world thought about him. He didn't care about their opinions of him. He did not seek to conform with the world or go along with the world or to please the world. And Paul definitely did not worry about what he wanted in this life either. No, his only concern from the moment he got saved was pleasing Christ and doing his will.
Amen.
Friends, that is why God used him so powerfully. You know what? God will still use people just as powerfully today.
Amen.
But he will not use people with divided loyalties. He will not use those who are trying to please the world, form of the world. He will not use those who are living to please only self. God will only use those who are completely and totally surrendered to him. So who are you really? What defines you? Let me ask you something. Be honest with yourself. Do you worry about what the world thinks about you? Do you worry about what people say about you? Do you worry about what people say about you on social media? You know how many times, and it's funny because, you know, before I came here, I've been here 12 years now. I mean, you know, before I came here, social media wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. Do you know how many times I've had a church member come to me and say, you know what someone said about you on Facebook? You know what somebody said about you on Twitter? You know what I look at and say, you know how much I don't care? I don't even care. Because I don't care. And I'm going to tell you what else I figured out. Nobody ever comes running to me when somebody says something good about me on Facebook or social media or Twitter or whatever it is. They only come to tell me bad things people say. When I say, you know, someone said, I say, you know how much I don't care, because I don't. Because I got news for you. My mission in life is not to please whoever wrote whatever they wrote on Facebook. My mission is to please him.
Amen.
I don't care. But I'll ask you, do you? Are you one of those people you don't want to make waves? Don't want to make conflict, so instead you just go along with the world and conform with the world's saying you? Let me tell you something. If any of that describes you, then I just want you to know you have a real problem in your spiritual life. And you're not going to get real far along in your walk with God until you resolve this problem. First thing you're going to do is quit worrying about what people think about you. Start worrying about what God thinks about you. But maybe you say, well, preacher, I'm not real concerned either with what the world wants. But maybe if you're honest today, you might have to admit that you're a little too focused sometimes on what you want.
Amen.
Maybe if you're honest, you'd have to say today, well, preacher, there's too many times in my life where I'm fighting with God for control over my life. There's too often that God will say, hey, I want you to do this, and I don't want to do it, so I don't. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There are places in the Bible. The whole Bible is God's word, amen?
Amen.
But you do realize there are parts of it that aren't easy to follow, and there are parts of it I'll just be warned about. I don't even know. But it's still God's word.
Amen.
You never in I looked at Matthew 16, Jesus sat him down and told him, hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. Remember, they got into Peter talking about it, and more about, I'm not letting it happen, remember that? And they got into more discussion, and Jesus told him, he said, Peter, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. That was Jesus, God in the flesh, the word of God speaking. Peter said, no, Lord, I'll die with you. Remember what else happened? All the others, boy, they had to chime in too. Yeah, we'll die with you too. Jesus said, not one of you. He said, you'll all forsake me. You'll all flee. You'll all run away. What does it say in Mark 14, 50 that happened in the garden at night? It says, they all forsook him and fled.
Amen.
And guess what old Peter did? He denied Jesus three times, just like Jesus said he would. You want to know why? Because the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's always right. And it's right whether you like what it says or not.
Amen.
And sometimes God is going to show you, this is the direction I want you to go in life. You're going to say, God, I don't want to go that direction. But I got news for you. If you're going to fight with God about which way your life's going to go, God ain't never going to use you to do squat. Because you're going to have to die to self. You're going to have to surrender your will to Him before God will truly be able to do something powerful in your life. And I'm telling you, if you're one of these people who struggles to put God's will under your own, well, you've got a problem. individual who cares nothing for the things of this world. It is a rare individual who refuses to conform with the world and go along with the world and take the path less traveled. It is a rare person who can truly die to self and the will of self. And it is a rare person who can truly put the will of self aside and seek to live only for Him. I'm telling you, when the Lord finds such a person, there is no limit to what He can do in their lives.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul proves that. My prayer this morning is that you will all be that rare person, like Paul, who lives only for Christ and to please Christ. Who are you really? What defines you? Okay, so you're not exactly like Paul. My advice to get after that work. Forget about what the world says you ought to be. Forget about what the world says is right. Forget about what you want. Forget about your will. Seek today the person He designed you. I'm telling you, if you can do that, God will do tremendous things in your life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for people like Paul, for the example that they show us. And indeed, Lord, when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, when he said, be followers of me, indeed, Lord, his is an example that we can be proud to follow. Because Paul didn't care one thing what the world thought. He did not conform to public opinion. He did not know when people called him names, when people persecuted him because of his faith in Christ, but he was true to you no matter what the world said. And after Paul answered from that very day when he asked that question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, he was at that moment completely and totally surrendered to your will for his life. Lord, I'm convinced that's why you used the way that you did. Father, I pray today that we would search our own hearts and our own lives. We would examine, Lord, how concerned we are about what people have to say about about what the world thinks about us, about what the world thinks we should be. And I pray, Lord, we'll examine our own lives and our own will and make sure, Lord, that our will is completely submitted to yours. And Lord, if we find there's any problem today, I pray, Lord, we'll be kind and bring it to you. And ask the Lord to help us, Lord, to just put the world aside, put the will of self aside, and just ask the Lord to help us today to truly die to self that we might live. God, after what you've done for us, you are within your right to ask this of us. And Lord, you are worthy of all. You are worthy of us dying to self, dying to our will. And you are worthy for us to live for you. Now, Lord, as you were speaking to hearts, I pray, Lord, that as the altar is open, sing the invitation. You bring those who need to come. Have your way.